this is one of the things that I just want to talk a little bit about the whole Facebook and social marketing stuff. Because I've always talked about having a blog and you know, hub and spoke, that kind of thing. And there's a lot of people who are always talking about, yes, you should be using Facebook all the time, and you got to be tweeting all the time. And here's my kind of gist on that. I am a fan of Facebook, and I do get some leads coming from Facebook and Twitter. But one of the things that I've spent a little bit of time getting set up is that the only social marketing that I do is automated from stuff that's happening on my blog, so that the links are back to the blog. Okay, so what I mean by that is that if you're going to do, a lot of times what happens is I've seen people who have got so into Facebook, as an example, that they stop doing anything on their business sites, and they spend all their time posting information to pages or creating or using Facebook as their website. And I don't think that's a good idea. I think you should still stick with the blog, still have your own identity on your blog and work on your blog. But what you should do is set it up so that when you post something to your blog, it automatically updates Twitter, it automatically updates Facebook, and creates entries on those social marketing platforms that have links back to your blog and not necessarily the other way around. I still think that you want to be in control of your data and the brand and the publishing and all that. And part of my sort of thing on this is because, you know, I've been around so long, and I know, Tom, you've probably seen stuff too, is that I remember, you know, 2.5-3 years ago when Facebook was popular but not necessarily for business and marketing, and everyone was talking about MySpace. Remember that?
Right.
Everyone was on MySpace, MySpace, MySpace. And there's all of these sort of platforms, they're transient. But the one thing that isn't transient is, you know, you've got to have some main site, some hub site that you're always working, and it's that steady base that you work from.
Let me ask you a quick question about that, James.
Yeah.
You had recommended to your students that they get their name as a URL. Is that essentially what you recommend being the inner hub?
It can be. Yeah, it can be, because generally the people that, you know, that I'm talking to are independent professionals, they're entrepreneurs. They're people that provide either information or a service. So it's a very, very good way to start. If they have a physical business, for example, I'll give you an example. There's a lady here in my city who has started a company, and it's tools for women. And it's Tomboy Tools is an example of the company. And like all of the hammers and screwdrivers have pink handles on them, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all tools, you know, handyman tools, but they're designed for women and marketed for women.
Brilliant.
She has a unique product and service that Tomboy Tools is the brand or the name that she's trying to promote, right? She's not going to try and build her business around myname.com at this point. Because she has a unique product or service that has something that she's going to be doing, and it's the tool is what's being sold, not necessarily her over the long term.
Right.
Okay? So, yeah, and I still recommend it to have one as your name, and even if it's Tomboy Tools as an example of this one, people want to find out about her story, right?
So she could link to her.
That's right. That's right. It's like a little satellite where she becomes a celebrity, the CEO, the founder, whatever. It's her story is on its own blog at some point.
Now, the format for her would like you said, a blog for her site would be a WordPress site, not a website. Is that
correct? Yeah, I initially I started doing You know, 10 years ago, I did my sites with front pages as an example. But now I do all of my sites. If it's not a big content site where there's lots and lots and lots of content and membership, I still prefer Joomla. But the any other kind of site, even if it's a sales page, it should probably be done in WordPress now.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. The reason being is that WordPress is up and installed in 30 seconds. You got so many different templates and things that you can just plug in. It's over and done with. And the WordPress templates, some of the ones that that you can use now or buy or even buy once, for example, allow you to have a sales page format with no traditional WordPress links on them.
How about as far as linking some kind of landing page to a blog? Is that possible?
Yeah, well, that's some of the templates now actually do that very, very well.
Okay.
There's some, for example, like Frugal is one. There's another one. Joel Comm has one called Socrates. The name of the other one has left me. But Frugal, for example, is one that you can buy a developer's license, and it basically allows you to do sales pages, standalone sales pages, where you couldn't tell it was a WordPress blog unless you actually looked under the hood.
Is that complicated to do, or do we have a video that explains?
On those ones, to make a sales page with WordPress, I don't have a video specific on that one. But even if you don't have one of those templates, the easiest way to do it is just have – remember that WordPress always uses index.php as the default homepage, right?
Uh-huh.
And what you can do is you can always create an index.html page, which is a traditional one-page sales page, a landing page, if you want to call it that. And with cPanel, your hosting account, you just set it up that your home page is index.html.
Okay.
And it will always land on that particular page.
And even though you change that address, it'll still be within the WordPress blog?
Well, no, that one would be like a standard HTML template. Like a standard HTML page, but you can have every other page that, you know, whether you're going to do frequently asked questions or support on it or a contact us or anything else that you wanted to do, it's just as easy to have the WordPress blog sitting in the background.
Okay, and so those two pages would be linked? That's the part?
Yeah, for example, you know how you have at the bottom of the sales page terms of service?
Uh-huh.
You know, privacy. If you're doing any of those things, you can have it to a standard page on your standard domain. But sometimes, for example, a lot of people, what would be the best way to explain this? You know what? If you're just doing a sales page, let me step back a bit. Let's say you're doing just a sales page, a traditional sales page where you're going to sell one product, and it's like a page that either says buy or don't buy. Just use one of the templates in the downloads from the My Small Biz U site. And it's a sales page template. Just use that and keep that there. Don't bother installing a WordPress blog.
Okay.
But if, for example, you had a sales page for a product, but it also you were doing a launch with it and it had 5 videos, for example, and you wanted to get comments on the videos, then I would use WordPress in behind. So you have the landing page, which is the squeeze page to capture the email address. And then after that, what happens is email one from your autoresponder sends them to a WordPress page, which just has the video and a place to comment, that kind of thing.
Okay,
so there's kind of two different flavors there. If you have a sales page or a sales website URL, where you only have one page and you're only selling the product, as an example, just use one of the HTML templates from the download section. If you're going to do some marketing on that sales URL, because you have to maybe, you know, give 3 examples or do some case studies or something like that, then I would install a WordPress blog to support or keep track of those videos and comments, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That's
okay, a little bit more work, but again, it depends on what, you know, one thing is if you're selling a $17 ebook, you're better off with a sales page, right?
Right.
If you're selling a $797 coaching program that includes videos and live coaching and four pieces of software and whatever, whatever, you're probably not going to sell it in one page, are you?
Right.
You're going to have four or five touches to get people to be on board. Then
right.
You're better off to use a WordPress blog and a template that supports sales pages, or use one of those HTML pages as your landing page and a blog in behind it.
Now, if you're selling something that's more expensive and you want to have multiple touches and you have your linked with your autoresponder, is there also a way that people can download content from a blog, like a PDF or a video?
Yeah, absolutely. You can, on any post, you can make the actual video, PDF, document. You could include links to any of those particular resources that you're including.
Okay.
And just put them in the page or the post that you're working on. Now, you remember, you understand the difference between a page and a post on a blog, right?
I do.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Because,
James,
when I was...
can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, the quality, I was reluctant to actually talk on the call because my phone, I have Magic Jack, and it's acting really kind of crazy. So
that's okay.
So I love it because it's cheap, but sometimes the phone, the quality is really not there. But anyway,
yeah.
My name is Stephanie, and Stephanie McIntyre, and I used to be
yep.
member of one of your, member of your small business
yep.
university site, but that was like 4 or 5 years ago, and then I went into
yep.
teaching, and I really haven't done anything but being a teacher. I'm off for the summer, so I thought, I have an idea for a blog that I want to start.
Sure.
And it's, but I don't really, I mean, there doesn't seem to be a way to directly make money, but it's something that I really enjoy. So I said, well, let me just, I think I'm going to, because I want to, but then it would be nice to be able to see how to generate some money. The site similar to mine that's out there, there are several sites, but it's, but I see that the person has little advertising blocks down both sides of their page, and they have,
yep.
People advertising. It doesn't seem to be going through, like, Google, or anything. It's like,
yep.
In fact, I clicked on their advertising link, and this woman is directly selling these advertising space to
yep.
companies. So,
yep. What's the URL? Do you have it there?
The woman's URL who's doing this?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let me just make sure she's actually got a blog on Blogspot, I think it
okay.
is.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll put the phone down so I can
no problem.
I gotta find it. But it's like let me see. Yeah, this is it. Okay, the website is GrowGrain, which is a type of ribbon. So it's spelled GROSGRAIN, fabulous. So it's growgrainfabulous.blogspot.com, I think it is. I don't have my glasses on, but that's, yeah. So did you get that?
I'm trying. We'll find out in a sec.
Yeah, okay, so it's growgrainfabulous.blogspot.com.
Yeah. Well, she's using the free Blogspot account, so she's not even paying for hosting.
Right, but I looked at her Alexa rating, and she gets a ton. She's like, I don't know, whatever it is. Maybe she's, I don't know, maybe 100 rating. But she's
well, just remember, yeah, any of the ratings that she gets, because it's on Blogspot, Blogspot, take it with a grain of salt.
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, yeah, it's
okay.
Not even her. She doesn't own the domain. She's on a subdomain of Blogspot.
Right, but if you look on the left here where she has all these little dot, all these little buttons, if you will, they're all paying like $300 a month to be there.
Yeah.
So and she claims in her advertising section that she has, I don't know, 5 million page views in the last year. I don't know, something extraordinary like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, her aside, I mean, that's kind of what she's doing. And I was like, well, my site that I'm proposing is also a sewing site, but different from this because I sew. That's one of my hobbies. And I said, well, at the very least, maybe I could get what she's got, which is all these sort of advertising down the side. And it's not quite in line with what, you know, with her site. So I kind of thought that was kind of a nice, I mean, and it looks kind of pleasing. It's not in your face kind of.
What's her URL? What's she saying? Grow what?
G-R-O-S grain. That's one word. Grow grain fabulous. So it's G-R-O-S, the word grain, fabulous, .blogspot.com.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
The only thing that I always get a kick out of is if someone says they're earning $1 billion a month or whatever, but they're using a free blogging service.
Yeah. I thought it was a little suspicious myself, but I just went ahead with, like here on the left, she has advertise, click here, and that's when she mentioned her page views and how much she charges and all that. And I mean,
$24 a month is what it is, recurring
payment. I didn't hear what you said.
$24 a month to advertise.
Advertising is for as low as $24 a month. Right. But it's, that's what it says. Yeah. But you make people sign like a yearly commitment or something. I mean, it was a couple of months ago when I looked at this, but I think it was like they had to sign like a yearly commitment and they get, you know, I don't even remember, like one line or something. I mean, she's got a whole thing set up, but
So that's one way to earn money is to sell advertising spots, and whether you go out and fill them or, you know, you have some other ad service put the spots in for you and you take a cut. That's, you know, advertising is one way of monetizing a blog.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. So this site that I am thinking of would be a membership site. And, you know, I wouldn't charge people to join or anything because, it's, you know, I would get many people. But, but I thought, well, at least, you know, I can send them email and stuff about, you know, things that are related to sewing, maybe books, sewing books that I review and products that I review and stuff like that. So, but, you know, it doesn't seem like it's just like, but I did look at the traffic. I did look at some, like, keyword. I did a little keyword research on it. And that's always very difficult for me to interpret because, you know, I looked up sewing machine, and I don't know, there were like 8,000 searches a month. Then I looked up sewing machine contest, and there were over 1 million. So that didn't make sense to me.
What tool were you using?
What tool was I using? I don't even remember. I can look real quick though.
That's okay. Well, like the easy thing. One of the things that that I have is if for Firefox, there's actually a Keyword Spy has a free plugin. And one of the nice things it does is if, for example, you're in Firefox and you do a Google search for, let's see what she, you said sewing machines, right?
Yeah.
Let me just see what she has. What is grosgrain?
It's a type of, it's a type of ribbon. So you see how she has across the front of her, in her, you know, her head or whatever, she has all these pieces of ribbon.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, grosgrain is not smooth like shiny ribbon. Grosgrain, and I know you've seen it, everybody has. It's the type of ribbon that has little horizontal ribs going all the way across it.
Okay, so I'll just give you I just did a Google search on grosgrain, for example, and there's 15 million results. But just to give you an idea, she has she has the number one spot on Google for the term GrowGreen.
Okay, right.
I'm just looking right here, Pages Cache, domain. The domain age, see the interesting thing, the domain age that the Keyword Spy gives is October of the year 2000, which is pretty important. But the thing that's, let me just see here. And I think that's because it's Blogspot.
Okay.
It's not her site that's 10 years old. It's Blogspot.
Right, okay. She gets some boost, I guess, from being Blogspot for having her URL contain Blogspot.
Yeah, she's been there for a while. That's one of the things. I'm going to go back here to a ribbon place and just look at some of the keywords and stuff that are there. Like for example, satin ribbon. 49,000, I'm looking for volume searches, 49,000 searches a month on satin ribbon.
Wow.
Organza is 27,000. White jewelry, coffee bags, this is all bags.
So like 49,000.
Yeah, that's at a site, for example, called Creative Bag, which has GrowGreen as one of the keywords. So I'm just looking at another one here. I'm just trying to find a good... See, they've got a good niche. It's not... They don't have a lot of people that are out talking about GrowGreen.
Right, and it's funny because her spot anything to do with GrowGreen except that it's an accessory you use when sewing. But her site is really about sewing. So GrowGreen, I mean, it's tangential because it's something that you can use in sewing, but it has absolutely nothing to do. Her site has nothing to do with GrowGreen ribbon.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe she just picked a really good word.
Yeah, she's had it for a while.
Yeah, anybody who goes looking for GrowGreen ribbon and goes to her site is not going to be happy because her site has nothing to do with it. I mean, not
yeah, exactly.
It has something to do with sewing, but no, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah.
So do you consider 29,000 searches, for example, for that word, a significant number?
Depends on what you want to do with it and what you're going to try and sell with it. Like, for example, you have to, like, if you're just going to use advertising as a way to monetize your site, then obviously the more searches and more people that are looking for it, the better off, because you know you got to get them to your site or your pages and hope that they click on an ad so you earn some money from it.
Right.
If you're you hit the nail on the head earlier, if you've got a site where you've got 25 or 45,000 searches for GrowGreen, but your entire site is not about GrowGreen.
Yeah.
Then, you know, sure, there's all those searches for it, but if your site has nothing to do specifically with it, it's going to be very difficult to monetize it, whether it be with an ad, although it may happen that people will be clicking off on the ads for related stuff. But if you're trying to sell a product or service, or you're trying to educate people or build relationships or any of those other things, to be an affiliate marketer, you've got to make sure that there's something of value related to the actual thing that the person is looking for.
Right, right. I understand that.
But the thing that I always look at to see, you know, if it's a good sort of niche market, it's that over 50 and under 2 rule. And if you remember from the Start Marketing Online course, the pick the right niche, I always try and look at the keywords, the cost on Google for advertising in that for that particular keyword phrase. So if it's over 50 cents and under $2, you're probably in a pretty good spot.
Okay.
Because if it's over 2, it means that it's probably way too competitive.
Right, right.
If it's under 50 cents, it means there's probably not enough people looking in it to make it worthwhile at this point because no one else is there.
Okay,
so just to look at an example, I'm just going from Keyword Spy, just an example.
Mm-hmm.
printing ribbon is $2.47. 8 ribbon is $1.31. Ribbon wedding, $1.23. Ribbon printing, $2.56. How to make a bow, bows, how to make, 49 cents.
I'm sorry.
Ribbon.
How to make a what?
Sorry, how to make a bow.
Oh, okay. Okay.
These are just some keyword phrases. Ribbon silk, 86 cents. Tree ribbon, 68 cents.
Okay.
Okay. And the other thing to kind of look at this one, that I always look at is if you go to again, the keywords, and I cover this in the Start Marketing Online courses, if you're looking at keywords and phrases and you go to the Google Webmaster Tools.
Okay.
Actually, just go to google.com, and I hope you remember this one, Tom, and do a search for sewing ribbon.
Sewing ribbon, okay.
So you do a Google search for sewing ribbon.
1,950,000.
Yeah. So you've got a listing right in there. There's a whole bunch that are there.
Yeah.
But on the left hand side of my screen, does it have Google, and then underneath it has everything, videos, images, more?
Yes.
Okay, and then there's a little down arrow that says more tools, right?
Uh-huh.
Click on the more tools.
Okay.
And then there's one of the categories there that's standard view.
Standard view, okay.
And then underneath it, there's one that says Wonder Wheel.
Yes, I see that.
Okay, so click on Wonder Wheel.
Okay. Okay, wow, I've never seen this before.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, this isn't a great one, because it's only got two sort of related things to sewing ribbon, right? So click on one of the links. Let's say ribbon trim.
Ribbon trim.
Let's see.
Okay.
Yeah, it was. Not much is showing out. So let's go back. Change this. Oh, ribbon trim. Yeah, so actually ribbon trim gave me a whole bunch of different ones.
Okay.
So you should have a hub called ribbon trim and then a whole bunch of spokes off of it.
Right. Yeah, okay.
So there's grosgrain ribbon wholesale, metallic jacquard, jacquard ribbon trim, satin ribbon trim, grosgrain ribbon trim, vintage ribbon. Do you see what's happening there?
Yeah, okay.
Hub and
okay.
spoke.
Exactly.
Oh.
So the thing that's interesting here is that, you know, if you look and you do you want to see if the market is right or if you're in the right area, that, you know, if you put a good sort of two-word phrase or single word that you think is a good kind of market to be in that hub position, and there's no spokes that show up,
yeah,
then that's probably a pretty shitty one, right?
All right.
But if you put one in that there's 48 different spokes, and you go and look at the numbers, you know, again for AdWords, and you see that they're under $2 for bidding, and over 50 cents, then you probably got a great market.
Okay.
But if you go and you pick, you know, I'll give you, like if you do insurance, for example, and you go, wow, yeah, there's all sorts of great ones for insurance, but they're all $38. People are, you know, paying $7 a click and crap on them.
Wow.
Which it's stupid. You're never going to make it in there. It's too competitive.
Right. Right. Okay. Wow. Okay. That's great. I mean, that's good information, because that's good information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I'm just going to, I just put in sewing. Let's see what happens for sewing.
Yeah, that's what mine, that's one I wish I can use it. Let's see. Wonder Wheel.
Yeah. But there's a good example. You put in sewing, and you actually get, 8 additional really good hubs that you could do.
Okay.
Like one of our customers, Tom, I don't, you know the embroidery tips and more? Like we've got one member that's been a member here for 5 years that has a membership site on embroidery tips.
Oh, okay.
Wow. And that's enough of a market to make it worth her while, obviously, if she's been.
Yeah, exactly. So just, you know, click on embroidery and watch what happens.
Wow, there's a lot. Who knew there was all this surrounding embroidery?
Exactly. Stitches, ribbons, software,
yeah.
Cross-stitching, designs, hand, patterns, machines.
Wow. Wow. I think
that's
I have a lot more research.
Yeah, that's the most exciting thing about this business is you can take something that couldn't survive in even a
mm-hmm.
medium-sized town and make it work when you have the whole market of the World
yeah.
Wide Web.
Right.
It's pretty exciting to me.
James, do you have videos on using social media?
Yes.
Okay.
What, on using multimedia?
Using, like, social media, like Facebook and... And
yeah, I have the one that I just put out last month was the Twitter traffic trip tips.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, because I haven't been on your site in so long, and I just thought about it again, like, gee, I really need to rejoin this, you know, because
yeah.
that was 5 years ago, and your information was awesome then, so.
Yeah.
And I'm just really overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed with all, like, since I have been teaching and not even looking at anything online. I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Social media, I feel like a dinosaur because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
And yet,
well,
you know
what? Just don't. I hope that if you heard the beginning of the call when I was talking to Tom, if you're going to do social media, just make sure that the social media is stuff that happens automatically in the background based on what you do on your blog.
Okay. Yeah, I did hear that. I did hear that.
Okay. Yeah, because the last thing that you want is to go gung-ho into social media, drop everything else, and then social media will shift to some other platform or something will change in the next little while and you're going to be stuck again. And you know,
yeah.
you know what, if you want to see that lady that I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
do a search on embroidery videos.
Okay.
And she's listed as number 2 in Google for embroidery
uh-huh.
videos. Here's the thing. I personally think what's going to happen is you're going to see a little bit of a shift, especially for kind of the bleeding edge people.
Uh-huh.
You're going to find smartphone marketing
is going to
be the next big thing. You, have you got like an
Very
iPhone
cool.
or a
oh,
BlackBerry or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, see, what's happening is I know some people now, and I'm kind of moving to it, is what's going to happen is that everything that you do on your smartphone
yeah.
can be posted automatically to your blog, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Scribe, StumbleUpon, Yelp, Foursquare.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is you're going to have people who all they do is they just spend time on their smartphone,
mm-hmm.
and they're marketing themselves by being out in the world, by sending a picture of where they are, updating what happened with whom.
Okay.
And the way that it works now is there's a number of services that allow you just to take whatever you send as an email from your smartphone, whether it be a picture or whatever, and it will automatically post to all of these sites.
Okay. I remember a few years ago that people were everyone was very sensitive to overloading people's email with just all of these, like, you know, ads and just trying to sell people repeatedly and just, you know, nonstop through their email. I'm wondering, how are people, you know, the consumer, how are they adjusting to having an endless barrage of Twitters and Facebook ads and things like this shoved at them all the time? I mean, we thought email was bad, so I'm wondering how people are actually receiving this.
Well, generally, in my opinion, generally what's happened is that, and these are people that are, that it's back to word of mouth or word of media. So, for example, they're talking to their friends or the people who are on their friends list who are in their sphere of influence. They're moving in groups following what they're, what each other are doing. So a lot of times, for example, is, you know, you've got your group of people on Facebook or you've got people following you on Twitter, and you go and buy a widget, or you, you know, you get the brand new iPad and you're going, wow, this is great, and you talk about it. The people that are following you that are in that trusted kind of bubble, those are the people that are being influenced.
Okay,
so it and, you know, think of it this way, and it, the reason that happens is it because it reduces choices for people, right?
Right.
They don't have to go and do all the research themselves. They don't have to go and figure out which one is best. They talk to their trusted friend who they assume has done the research.
Okay.
Or has had a good experience or a bad experience.
Right. Well, I just have one more question. As a you know, because I haven't had a blog in many years, and for me or somebody who's starting a blog for the first time, would you say that there's it's still possible for you to be successful without tapping strongly into social media like Facebook and Twitter? I mean, can you still have a?
No, I think you should still do social media, and you should have two accounts, one for your personal and one for business.
Okay.
That's one of the things I get asked. But all I'm saying is that you should start blogging, and you should immediately set up your blog so that it automatically posts to your Twitter, your Facebook, and all of these other places I talked about. So you just use free plugins that I cover in the WordPress videos and the Twitter videos, and you set it up so that all you're doing is you're publishing or posting. You know, the way I've been doing it is actually just with email. I send an email to one service, and it automatically updates my blogs, my Facebook, and my Twitter just by sending an email.
Oh, good. Okay.
Is that on the video who you send the email to, James?
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you right now, it's Posterous.
Oh, yeah. I have that from last time's notes. Posterous.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, James. I'm going to get off the call now, and I'm going to rejoin Small Biz University because I need all of this information. So
okay, just send me an email and let me know what you want. Okay,
okay.
Because right now I don't even think I have I know I don't have a monthly program on. I only have the yearly one on. But I'll because you were a previous member, we'll see if we can work something out for you. Okay.
That'd be great. Okay. Thanks a lot.
So send me an email, and you don't have hosting or anything at this point.
I do actually. I'm GoDaddy, but you know how their hosting is. So they nickel and dime you.
So you don't have hosting. Technically, you don't have hosting. You have GoDaddy.
Right.
Okay. That's fine.
All right, I'll send you an email. Thanks a lot, James.
Okay, no problem. So are you okay there, Tom?
Yeah, I'm good, buddy. Thanks a million. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay,
I'll do
you
what
take care.
We talked about this week. Thanks so much.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.